Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. It's a dream for some parents, a nightmare for others. Your child turns around to you and says, "When I grow up, I want to be an influencer." Well, is it a viable career path? Should you have concerns or should you encourage it? Joining me to discuss it is Tanya Sweeney, columnist with the Irish Independent, News Talk Sue Murphy, and Dr. Irene McCormack, senior lecturer in media studies at the Southeast Technological University. And Tanya, you've been writing about this, so let me start with you. Is this the kind of thing that if a child says it to you, you should say, run for the hills, do anything else?
Well, I think if my kid was to come to me and say they wanted to be an influencer, I would go, grand, do what you want to do in this life. I am not going to impose my own value system on you, you know. But I think what happens is this research comes, and this is why I wrote the Irish Independent column. This research surfaces every couple of years, and it talks to kind of kids 11 to 14 about what they want to do. And influencer was one of the big ones, you know. I mean, a decade ago, it was WAG or pop star or, you know, whatever. And it's supposed to, I suppose it's designed to kind of evoke a bit of hand wringing. You know, what's happened to wanting to be a doctor or wanting to be a nurse or wanting to be a lawyer? And, you know, at the end of the day, grown-ups did, you know, create this value system for kids. So I don't know why we get all het up when, you know, we obviously, as people, put such stock into influencer culture. So, of course, kids are going to pick up on that and want what they see to be a high status job. And also influencing culture looks, it's sort of exciting, you know. I think in the toss up between, you know, a 12 hour shift in Bowman's A&E and holding up a jar of face cream for a couple of quid, I know which one I'd rather do.
Sue, is it a viable career?
You saw me shaking my head. It's not that I don't want to say it's not a viable career. I just think asking people for validation online, for young, like the 11, 14 year old, for as a starting point, to say to them, yeah, it's going to go online, you know, and ask people to just validate what you're doing online and want to do what you're doing. And I mean, I've noticed it definitely. My little girl watches YouTube videos. The dolls dressing, and she's four. So she watches and she started to present her own YouTube videos at the kitchen table. Now, there's nothing recording. She's not, I don't have a phone or anything on. She'd be like, if you got this dress, you were right. You know, four. She's four. So I just think.
Have you thought about this as a source of income, Sue?
Well, there's millions of views on those videos, Anton. They're absolutely huge. Like the amount of money they're generating. But I just don't think it should be encouraged. I mean, if at 18 you want to go off and you want to do this as a career, fine. Up to that point, you're under my roof. You're going to play by my rules, and you're not like, I'm struggling to even with the smartphone conversation. I was telling you about this before. We had a conversation in the primary school where they said at sixth class, you know, a lot of the sixth class students would have it, but there's a kind of a, not like a charter, but the parents all kind of sign up to this thing where the school would inform the other parents how much of the class have phones, which I think is a brilliant idea, because it's not, you know, this thing that they usually fall up on, which is the, oh, I'm just going to, you know, everyone else has a phone, I'm going to have to give you the phone. I don't think we should be, I think as parents, we should be all signing up to that thing of, no, you know, we're all going to, in agreement as parents, as a collective in this school, without even the teachers being involved, we shouldn't be handing them phones.
Let me go to Irene McCormack. Dr. Irene McCormack, senior lecturer in media studies at the Southeast Technological University. Irene, is it any different to a child saying, I want to be a singer like Taylor Swift, or I want to be a DJ, or I want to be on the telly, or I want to be an actor?
Yeah, it is really different, because it's very hard to be Taylor Swift, but it's not that hard to be an influencer. I think it's way more accessible as an opportunity. So I, in many ways, I don't even know why we're still talking about it, because it is happening and it's a very sustainable opportunity. Now, I do understand if you're talking about people under 18, for sure. You need to be monitoring what people are doing and looking at the amount of time they're spending online. But there's a whole raft of work around this known as the attention economy, that attention is now a product in itself, the same. It is a currency, basically. And, you know, if you throw around all sorts of numbers, they're saying that this business will be worth 150-60 billion by 2030. And already 15 million people are working as influencers. And you don't have to be a mega influencer. You don't even have to be a macro influencer. There's 91% of engagements on Instagram are with micro influencers with sponsored posts. So it's happening already. And I think it's kind of triggering for older people. Yeah.
A micro influencer has how many followers and earns how much money?
Over 1,000 followers and less than, some people say 50,000 or 100,000. But that would be more of a side hustle. Making, you know, bobs and making, but the engagement's very intense with micro-influencers, and a lot of brands really want micro-influencers to work now because they're finding that they're getting, you know, a lot more purchase power for bank for their
buck. But how many eyeballs do I need to own to actually make a few quid, and what is a few quid in the influencing world?
Well, that's the thing. It's a very, because it's nascent at the moment, we're not really hearing what people are making, what they're doing. Let's say a Canadian influencer I spoke to, she started off in her bedroom working at this, doing it a few hours and decided to give up. And she's just making standard kind of industrial wage of about 60,000 Canadian dollars. But she's, the thing about that she's enjoying is all the flexibility and all the power she has to set her own timetable and work for herself. You're basically the CEO of a small media company when you're
an
influencer.
And how many followers would she have?
She would have about 25,000 followers. Yeah. But, you know, everybody's doing lots of different things. If you'd see, there are certain people like, you can't even think what an influencer could do, because we all think it's a, you know, you need some sort of grand idea. But say, for example, somebody like Chloe Holman in America, she's 32 and she had very curly hair. She started an online Instagram page she's a curly hair influencer, and she's six people working for her. Now, I can't say what all those six people are doing, but, you know, she's making a brand, trying to turn over $1 million a year, doing things like brand deals, courses and selling products. So, you know, definitely with influencing, it's about following your passion and having a very, very, very strong work ethic. Because I think the one thing that young people might not realize is that when your hobby becomes your job, it's very intense. You're keeping up with the algorithm. It's just very, very, very intense and hard work. And a lot of influencers are working 90 hours a week on their business.
Tanya Sweeney, let me go back to you on this. To some extent, would you be as well in career terms just going to Vegas and putting it all on black for the statistical likelihood of this working?
No. Okay, to build on what Irene just said, you know, I mean, it is a small media company. This was known as advertising 10 years ago or marketing 10 years ago. And no one had any problem with it because it was middle-aged white men in ties that ran it all. And now these are young, good-looking girls who are looking into their own phones and using their own likeness and image to sell these products. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people might have a problem with, that these are young women who, and they're all like, oh, it's so narcissistic. You're just looking in your phone all day long. No, as Irene says, they're very, very media literate and digital literate.
I don't know if I agree. We haven't really talked about the psychological impact of doing something like this online, opening yourself up. It's a wild west out there. Like, you know, you wouldn't send a 20-year-old into a whole group of people that you didn't know in a room to just suddenly start to sell makeup or to promote a product. It just wouldn't happen. And we do it online every single day. I mean, how many influencers have you heard that are established influencers talking about the abuse they have received online because they said something that somebody didn't agree with and suddenly they're under attack? I think it's really damaging. But also the other element of it is places like Instagram, TikTok, they were nice kind of places to go to look at nice photos and somebody went on holiday. And now all of a sudden everyone's trying to sell me that holiday. And I'm just like, there's a lot of people I now unfollow because of the amount of things they try to sell me. And these places, it was meant to be a nice little congregation of social media where we all chatted about things and suddenly everyone's trying to sell me something.
Well, what of that, Tanya? Is there an element of survivor bias in this? That there was a chance at the outset for the early adopters to find themselves in positions of huge influence and huge revenue, but that the reality is that for every one successful influencer, there is 5-10,000 who gave it a shot and got nowhere.
Well, of course there is, but I'm not sure it's a case of diminishing returns either. I mean, there's always going to be a new audience who are going to want, you know, to look up to people. I mean, we'll say the people who came to prominence, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, they're not speaking, we'll say, to Gen Z, you know, and they're going to need a whole kind of raft of new, we'll say, personalities who will be able to speak to on an ongoing basis. I think that's what's going to happen here. You're right. There are people who got in really early and they've managed to, you know, make a decent buck here, and there will be 20,000. And, you know, Sue was right. It is a very, you know, unregulated, untested. You're essentially putting yourself to the mercy of an audience and you don't know what's going to happen there. If it was my 20-year-old, I would say, you know what, crack on. You will make mistakes. You will learn the hard way or the easy way if this is something you want to do. You know, as a parent, I would never stand in someone's way and say, I don't think you should do that. You know, that's kind of not how I'm going to be playing it at all. But I think if you want to try influencing as a parent, and of course, on Twitter, somebody who said to me, you know, oh, what's next? Are you going to encourage them to do OnlyFans? Well, I'm not. What I'm going to say is I'm not going to stand in anybody's way. And if they want to, you know, try things or experiment with their career, have at it. You know, who am I to stand in their way?
Let me go back to Irene McCormack on the suggestion that Tanya Sweeney made there, that fundamentally the reason people are agin the idea of influencers is because it is young, attractive women, not middle-aged white guys, and that in essence it's the patriarchy trying to keep them down.
Well, Tanya has totally hit the nail on the head there. And if we look at the genesis of this kind of work, it really came out of things like Mumsnet, so mummy bloggers, and the kind of things that women, it was considered women's work and therefore kind of looked down on. So I'm 100% behind that because that's what the research proves. And I don't think it's really helpful to be sniggering or laughing at people who are making their money. And people make money in lots of different ways. And when we see, you know, Forbes, or I think it was Oracle, did research and they discovered that 54% of 18 to 30 year olds in America would be become influencers if they had the opportunity. So the horse is bolted, and people should be allowed to choose to do what they want to do. And again, I agree with Tanya, fall up, stand up, fall down again, try again. And I have worked with a lot of influencers, young influencers, and they do get a lot of hate online, and lots of people are getting hate online, and not just people who are trying to monetize their own personal narrative. But I think that that's something that I've discovered those people themselves learn from and try and deal with in their own ways. And there is burnout for sure, and it's very difficult. But perhaps those people could go and work in other marketing. Like we're running a degree in this, in content creation and social media, from September. And the idea is to insulate those people so that they're not just having to sell their own personal narrative, but this is digital marketing for the person. You learn digital marketing, you could work for talent agencies, and you can work for corporate clients. And increasingly, people like Mattel are hiring influencers to be 9-to-5ers in their businesses. So there's lots of opportunities from this work, and where there's opportunities, there's gains for young people. And I think that's great.
Irene, thanks very much. That's Dr. Irene McCormack, Senior Lecturer in Media Studies at the Southeast Technological University. Thanks as well to our own Sue Murphy and Tanya Sweeney, columnist with the Irish Independent. Still to come on News Talk, house buyers are paying 30K above asking price.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.